Good morning, Drift Run Church. God bless. Good to be with everybody here this morning. I tell you something before I go any farther with this. How many veterans do we have in here this morning? Would you please stand? Please stand for us this morning. Hey, let's give them a hand here this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for the freedom that we have. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I usually read this scripture, some of this scripture, whenever we're doing communion. I want to get into it a little bit, and I'll get to it here in a little bit. You understand what I'm talking about. Whenever you get to it, turn to the 31st and the 32nd verse of the 11th chapter, and please stand at 1 Corinthians with me. Let's read God in honor of God's word here this morning. God's word tells us this here in 1 Corinthians 11, 31, 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let us pray. Fathers, Lord, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart. I come with praise in my heart for you this morning. Lord, I love you and I praise you for the opportunity we have to be here on this day, Lord. I thank you for that. Father, I pray that, Lord, that you'd be with the hearts here this morning and each and every one, Lord. And I pray, Father, that, you know, that these hearts, Lord, would be opened up to your word. And I pray, Father, that we could all get out of the message, what we'd have to get out of it here this morning. For truly, you are a righteous and a just God. And we love you and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want to tell you something this morning. Most of this, whenever I preach, you know, whenever the Lord gives me something to preach, this is one of these sermons this morning that I want to, I don't mean to condemn, I don't want to condemn, but what I want to do is I want you to look at yourselves. I want to look at myself this morning, and I want to look at all of it. You look at yourself. I can't look at you for me. I can't do that, but you can look at yourself this morning. And as I preach this sermon this morning, I hope and pray that you understand what it's about. How many of you in here have junk drawers? Raise your hand, please, if you do. You know that drawer in your house where somewhere where the extra parts go from those jobs that you're done with? You know that if the great American junk drawer is what I call it. Mine's not a drawer anymore. I'm not allowed to have a junk drawer in the house anymore. I got a junk tote. It's out of my building. Tink would tell you it is probably a junk building, if the truth be known. She'd probably tell you that. It's very disconcerting to her, you know, to have a messy junk drawer. She understands what she's got. Whenever we was up on 14th Avenue, she kept after me all the time about getting that thing cleaned up and getting clean. You know why, don't you? Because if you got a junk drawer and it gets too much stuff in it, you can't get it open anyway. You got to reach back in there and push the stuff down to get it out. And that's pretty much what the junk drawer was about. You know what I call it? I call it the Newberry's of my house. Anybody ever been to Newberry's Hardware up in Parkersburg before? I call it the Newberry's of my house is what I call my junk drawer because everything's in there. If you've ever been to Newberry's are no longer there, but if you was ever there, you could go in there and find anything you wanted to find. You could buy one nut. You could buy one screw. You didn't have to buy the whole pack. That's just the way that the store operated. But that, they had anything that you wanted, no matter what you were looking for. You went and they told you look in your junk drawer for whatever you were looking for. Some people's go-to response was, if you ask about anything, was, did you look in the junk drawer? Matter of fact, I've heard stories of wives busy on something and kids come and ask them where their dad's at, and they say, go look in the junk drawer for him. That was the go-to response. The place where stuff that you don't quite know what to do with goes. That's what goes in the junk drawer. The place that you put things that you don't even know are even there anymore. This is the truth about this. In that junk drawer up on 14th Avenue, one time I had a job to do, and I go buy something to do the job with, and lo and behold, I look in the junk drawer, and it was in there. So I didn't have to go buy it anyway. Where odds and ends and whatnots go. And you know what? Something else you don't know if you don't have a junk drawer? They sell starter kits for junk drawers on eBay. All right. You know what? Some of the things you will find in a junk drawer, you can find safety pins, thumbtacks, magnets, small screwdrivers. You can find crescent wrenches, tape, super glue, useful stuff like that. You know, you can find all that kind of stuff. You can find also you can find stuff in here that's probably not quite so useful. Like old puzzle pieces. Oh, yeah. There's probably some of mine at one time. You know, the ones that you find, you do, oh, I better not throw that away. And you never get that puzzle out again. Scratched up sunglasses. You can find stuff in there like old car air fresheners. You can find that in there too. Why you keep that stuff, I don't know. Why I keep that stuff, I don't know either. I'll get to my point here in a little bit. You'll see what I'm talking about. A psychiatrist by the name of Kit Yarrow says, if you want to know something about somebody, she said, look in their junk drawer. She said that because what she did, she had people send in pictures of their junk drawers to her. And she said she could tell all kinds of things. She could tell their hobbies were. And that's true. You could probably tell what your hobbies are by looking in a junk drawer. You can find a lot of good intentions in a junk drawer too, like Nicorette or sunscreen or things like that. You can find that in a junk drawer too, where people after a while they just throw it in there. Old shopping list. There's that kind of stuff in there. There was, and to-do list. You can find that stuff all in that junk drawer. What I want to ask you something about this morning is, even if you don't have a literal junk drawer, can I tell you this morning we all have a spiritual junk drawer once in a while in our lives. This is why I'm telling you, I'm not here to condemn nobody, but I believe there's things, you know what, we need to look into. I preached last Sunday night about the light of God shining on our lights, our hearts, and in our lives. I'm going to take it a little bit farther this morning because when you talk about these spiritual junk drawers of ours, can I say it? They're just as cluttered with some things sometimes, just as full of stuff that we keep around and keep a hold of. They're just as full of things that we don't even realize sometimes they're in there until they pop out at us sometimes. You see, I didn't realize there was stuff in that junk drawer up at 14th Avenue until I opened it up and got to digging back in the thing. And then I seen what was in there. Certain weaknesses, there's vices, there's character things about us, each and every one of us, that sometimes if you, in our spiritual junk drawers, you know, and it's just plain easier. There are times where it's just plain easier to put them aside, push them back sometimes, and not even try to deal with them, as it is to try to really get them out of there and try to say, Lord, you know what? Help me get the junk out of my life. I am what I am. You know, I've had people say, well, you know, it's just the way that I am. It's just the way that I am. I am what I am mentality. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that because I believe that says, behold, whenever he makes you new, old things become new. Amen. That's the Bible. That's not Dave Long standing up here preaching at you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Whenever he saves you, whenever he comes into your life, behold, all things become new. Behold, all things become new. I want to look into some junk drawers about some things in it. And I want to talk a little bit about myself. And hopefully, it can help us all declutter our junk drawers. That's what I want to get. That's my point here this morning. I want to help you and me declutter the junk that's in our lives sometimes. And we can do that. I know we can do that through the power of Jesus Christ, through Him dealing with. We can declutter our spiritual junk drawers. There's stuff in our drawers that should be disconcerting to us as well. Amen? There's things in there that should be. And to put it bluntly, can I just be bluntly with you? There's some of our junk drawers that are just a plain mess. They're just a plain out mess. Start a little bit with myself. This time of year, I like to put up Christmas lights. And whenever I put them up, one certain time, I was putting up some Christmas lights. And I go outside, and I'm putting them up. And I was putting them up. This is what I did. I put them up, and of course, you got the plug in on one end. What do? I put them up backwards. Tink comes out, and she says, you put them up backwards. And of course, you know what I do? I immediately get offensive. That's the pride that's in my junk sometimes. That's in my junk drawer sometimes. I immediately get offense to it. No, it's got to be those cheap Walmart lights. Guys, have you ever been there? God showed me differently. You know, I thought You see what I said? I thought I was a pretty humble guy. I thought, therein lies the trouble, Greg, with me. I'll just put me in it. Proverbs 21:2 says this, every way of a man is right in his what? His own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the heart. I don't know about you here this morning, if you have a problem with pride this morning, but you know, pride runs in a lot of different things. 1 John 2:16 tells us this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the last one is the pride of life. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Even Job, Sean did a marvelous teaching on Job here a while back. Job even did this. He said, I'm clean without transgression, Job said. I'm clean without transgression. I'm innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. You see, that day, and it's other times too, but that day on them lights, I'm saying to myself, I don't need anybody to tell me that I'm wrong. Because I'm right. Nobody else ever been there? I've been there. I have been there. And that junk drawer flies open. And pride comes out. You know, I don't need anybody's help. There are those that are like that. There are those that are like that. And I may be talking to some of you here this morning. I do not know. I don't need nobody's help. Jamie said this Wednesday night, just what got me talking, thinking about this. He said, you know what? Whenever I'm asking prayer, I don't really like asking prayer for myself. Either, I don't know whether I'm too prideful, or I just don't want it. I'm a preacher. I shouldn't have to ask you guys for prayer. I've got a direct line to God. Right. How prideful is that? And Jamie didn't say that the other night, by the way. But I'm here to tell you this morning, pride. Pride comes in a couple of different shapes and sizes. It does. Self-promotion, and it comes in self-pity. Did you know that? Pride can come in both ways. Self-promotion's easy to spot. It's easy. Self-promotion's easy to spot because everyone exalting their own virtues. Everyone, you know, character, you know what, making sure everybody knows of their abilities. That kind of pride's very easy for everyone to speak. Doing all that you can, doing it everything that so everybody will recognize, look at me, what I have done. That's easy to recognize, right? We've all seen that. The pride of self-pity, though, is very sneaky. It's different. It appears in weakness, insecurity, and helplessness, and in depression sometimes. Well, here's a good distinction between the two. I found this and wrote this down. Boasting says, I deserve admiration because I have achieved so much. Self-pity says, I deserve admiration because I have suffered so much. Do you see the distinction? But both of them are pride. Both of them are prideful. Well, you know what? I have suffered so much, so that means that you guys should really look up to me and really be on my side and really do this and really do that. That's prideful too. That's very prideful. Whether we see it or not, but it is. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shall shine as lights in the world. Isn't that amazing? Do all things without murmuring or disputing. I can't say that I've done all things without murmuring, Greg. I can't. How about you here this morning? Have you been able to say, or has that junk drawer got a little bit of that in there too? Where you've been able to say, well, I've done all things without murmuring or disputing? I haven't. There's been times in my life I have murmured a lot, haven't I, honey? Yes, there has. Yes, there has. And we look at this kind of stuff, but you know what? Whenever I open that spiritual junk drawer and I look in there, there's pride in there. It's right in there. Oh, I don't want nobody's help. I don't need nobody's help. Right. I need the Lord's help. And you know what? There are times I need your help. Amen? Amen. You think you can handle everything on your own? You think that you're able and that you don't want to bother anybody? That you, the truth be known, we all have those kind of things in our life. All of us have that junk in there once in a while. in a lot of different areas of our life as well. Galatians 6:2 says something that I believe that we should understand and understand it good. Whenever people's wanting to help us or wherever we're wanting to help one another, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Did you get that? It said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we ask someone to help us, what are we doing? We're bearing a burden. We are giving them the opportunity to serve God. That's what we're doing. It's not because we don't need your help, but praise God this morning, that is what it's about. Folks, is there a little pride in that junk drawer of yours? Is there a little pride in there that maybe you haven't really looked at and seen or haven't looked in there for a while? Maybe it's stuffed back in there. I don't know. Pride goeth before destruction, it says, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Just remember that. Just remember that if it's stuck back in there and you're not wanting to take care of it. Another thing that's in a lot of our spiritual junk drawers, trusting in our own selves instead of God. That kind of goes along with what the pride thing, what I said there. Ever since you were in school, you probably have been taught this. You've been encouraged to believe in yourself and that you can do anything that you set your mind to. I was taught that whenever I was in school. Yes, I was. I was taught that. We've been taught that you can shape your own destiny. You probably have been taught that you can shape your own destiny. But as many of us have come to find out here this morning, that is not always the case. It's not always the case. It's not always. Can I give you something that you can hang your hats on? That kind of advice right there that you've maybe been taught all your life, I don't know that I hang my hat on that all the time, but here's something you can. It's over in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen? That's something that you can hang your hat on right there. That's something to believe in. And the key to cleaning out the junk drawer is learning, is leaning not to your own understanding. Lean not on your own strength. Lean not on your own knowledge. Because once you start doing that, Satan will blur the lines in your life. Look what I've done. Right? Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. Look what I'm doing. One of the biggest mistakes that a Christian can make is to try to make a decision regarding God's personal will for our lives and trying to change that decision. Where you knowingly and willfully have sin in your life. That right there, you will not be able. You can say that it's the will of God. Maybe you want it to be the will of God, but that's not always the case. Brothers and sisters, because the channel of communication will get short-circuited just as soon as we do that. Whenever you start trying to do things your own way, that communication between you and God will get short-circuited. I'm just here to tell you. It'll do it. And there's just no doubt about it. I know I have faced it. You see, God reveals his will to us. He'll do that. What he might consider it. No, it doesn't work or say it that way. There are two kind of Christians in this sanctuary here this morning, and I want to talk to you both of you here this morning. I want you to picture a wagon wheel. And you're either one or the other. And you know the old type wagon wheels where the spokes go to the center? You can either put me in the center of that spoke, or you can put Jesus in the center of that spoke. There's two different types. There's two different types in here this morning. You know what? That center hub, it's either me or it's Jesus. That's all there is to it. And I, except, you know what? If it's me in there, everything revolves around you. Everything revolves around you. I'm talking about every aspect of your life going to it. Everything revolves. If it's a me in the center of it, no matter whether it's family, no matter what it is, it's all about me and what I can do. The spokes are all about my social life, my work, my recreation, about my families, about my hobbies. And of course, when it's convenient, it's about church. Amen? All the above are not bad things. I'm not talking, saying that they're all bad. Family's good. Having our time to ourselves is good. It's not. The problem comes when those things become preeminent in our lives. They become preeminent, and it's all about those things and not about Jesus whatsoever. Jesus doesn't want that. I'm here to tell you this morning. He doesn't want Jesus to be one of the spokes. He wants to be the hub. He wants to be the center. You want to have a good family? Make sure Jesus is the center of it. You want to have a good work life? Make sure Jesus is the center of it. You want to have good recreation time? Make sure Jesus is the center of it. Am I preaching? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to condemn. I'm just trying to tell you this morning. I hope and pray that you understand that we can all grow from this here this morning. Amen. You can write Jesus as the hub of the wheel. How many spokes of your life are focused and going towards Him here this morning? How many spokes are doing that here this morning? No matter what you're doing, you're asking, what would Jesus do? What would He do? What would He do at your work? What would He do on the softball field? You know why I say softball field? Because I used to play softball, and that got to be my life. Do you understand? That got to be my life. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't care if I missed Wednesday nights. We played in the church softball league. We did. And I didn't care what else went on. I wanted to go play softball. That's why I say that. You see, that spoke of my life wasn't Jesus or Jesus-centered. That spoke of my life was me-centered. I'm telling you here this morning, what about you this morning? You know what? Is Jesus the center of your will, or are you the center of your will? And you're the only one who knows that. And be honest with yourself. I want to ask you this morning to be honest with yourself here this morning. It is that important. It is that important. It's not just revolving around Him. We need to revolve around Him. All of our life needs to revolve around Jesus. Amen. Trusting in your own self instead of God. Putting too much into yourself. Thinking about me, about what I, about me, myself and I. Thinking about that all the time. So can you see? You listen, whenever that junk drawer opens up and that stuff starts coming out and you see that all you're concerned about is what makes it better for me, what makes it better for what I want to do? That's not the way the Bible intended it to be. Proverbs 69, and in their hearts humans plan their course. This is the NIV version. It says, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. We think that we are planning our own way. We think that we're doing what's right, but you don't understand. God's will be done. How about being irritated over just the little things in life? You got anybody ever be irritated over the little things? I'm going to tell you what, you want to talk about something, a junk drawer, open it up and stuff flying out, that comes out of me right there. Getting irritated over the little things in life. Have you ever taken Proverbs 15:1 to heart? You know what Proverbs 15:1 says? A swift answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Or are you like me, and you don't do that sometimes, and you stir up wrath? Folks, before I know what happens, my mouth gets in the way of my good sense, and that drawer will open up, and stuff will fly out. Stuff will fly out. Men, if you've been married over any course of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It can stir up anger. It can stir up a lot of different things. Whenever, you know, not only in your marriage, but in other aspects of your life as well. It can do that. Galatians 15:19-21 talks about the works of the flesh. Greg read some stuff a little bit ago about the works of the flesh. Galatians 15:19-21 does as well. You listen to me. I've seen, you know what is right dab in the middle of Galatians when it talks about the works of the flesh? It's talking about getting angry, is what it's talking about. It's talking about, I've seen people get fired from their jobs because of anger. I've seen that. People get into fights and kill people because of parking spaces, because of road rage. Did you see here a while back where the guy down in Florida shot another guy because they were arguing over a parking spot? Arguing over a parking spot. Right in the middle of sexual immorality, right in the middle of drunkenness and sorcery, it says it's fits of anger. Is right there in the middle of all that. And the trouble with it, if that junk gets out of hand, I'm here to tell you, there's a stark warning that God put at the end of that scripture right there. He said, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's a stark warning. I don't know about you, but I don't want that junk back here. I don't want it in my drawer. I don't want it in there. One more that I want to talk about before I finish up this morning. I want to talk about jealousy this morning. Is there any jealousy in your junk drawer this morning? Any of that? You know, back over in Galatians 5, it talks about jealousy. Back in that same scripture, it talks about it. It said, one of the works of the flesh. It said in Proverbs 14:30, it says, tell us this, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones, is what it says. That's what it tells us. You know what? Is there anything more ugly than petty jealousy in somebody's life? One sign of jealousy is this. I thought this was good as I was looking this up. It said one sign of jealousy, when it's easier to show sympathy and weep with those who weep than it is to exhibit joy for those that are, rejoice with those who rejoice. That's a sign of jealousy. Did you know that? I thought, wow. Wow. That's awesome. Because you know what? There's a lot of us, it's easy to weep with those that weep. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard to rejoice for those that have stuff going on or that really are being blessed and things are going really good in their lives. It's hard sometimes to do that. Listen, there's a difference between jealousy and envy, by the way. There's a difference between the two, whether we know it or not. Envy is something which belongs to another person. Jealousy is the fear of something that we possess. Somebody else is going to get it. There's a difference. But you know what? Both of those could be junk back in our drawer. They could be back here, and it could keep and hinder us from serving God and drawing closer to Him. Listen, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What in the world do we have to be jealous of? Look what He's done for us. Look what He's done for us. I mean, you know, be thankful for the family and friends that you have. Be thankful for the love. Be thankful for the church that you have. Be thankful for all that is a part of what you're doing here this morning. Be thankful for all that. And you know what? If you have any of this junk in your drawer, if you have a junk drawer, a spiritual junk drawer that has any of this in here, I want to ask you this morning, this altar is going to, they're going to come here a little bit and sing a song. And this altar is going to be open. I'm here to tell you this morning, He has dealt with me. I'm going to get down there. And I'm going to pray just as soon as we get a song here. And I invite you to come and pray with me this morning. Not because you're some dirty, low-down, rotten scoundrel, but because you may have junk in your drawer that needs to come out of there. And God can help us to grow. All of us grow together, right? He can do that. Belinda, come get a song for me, please.